thank you for joining us today in this episode of the Immersive Chemistry Podcast. As always, I'm joined by Jesse, my co-host. Jesse, how are you today?
I am great, thank you, team. We are just back from our third network-wide event and looking forward to discuss one of the experiences that we all have in that meeting with you.
Yeah, that's right. Today we're going to be discussing a special type of immersive learning environment, and one that's not typical to what we've been discussing so far. This is not strictly digital. We're actually discussing an escape room experience, which has been developed by Merck to train employees in certain aspects of workplace health and safety. Interestingly, Merck is actually one of the oldest chemical companies in the world. It was founded 352 years ago, all the way back in 1668, and it was founded in Darmstadt, Germany, and the headquarters are still there today. So what's interesting is a company with more than three centuries of history is today using game-based learning techniques to help train their employees. And for our listeners who are unsure exactly what an escape room is, it's basically a type of serious game. And serious games are games that are designed for or with a primary purpose other than for pure entertainment or just for fun. And in this case, the game was designed as a professional development tool. Now, an escape room is a type of serious game, and escape rooms are actually pretty popular at the moment. And in most cities around the world, or at least large cities, you can probably find one. And they involve fictitious problems which must be cooperatively solved by a group of people, by a team. And the team playing the serious game, they'll go through a step-by-step process to find solutions to different problems. And each solution found will lead to another problem. And then until that final problem is solved, that's when the team can escape the room, which is obviously where they get the name from. Now, distributed throughout each room, or in some cases a series of rooms, there are hints hidden in various locations. Now, these hints can be locked in containers, locked in safes, used and in order to get into these containers or these safes or these areas, maybe a bag, for example, you need to find keys or maybe codes to access using like a combination lock. So these keys and these codes can also be found throughout the room and are often actually part of solutions to other problems. Now, the way that the designers of of these escape rooms integrate concepts around occupational health and safety is that the types of solutions or the solutions that need to be solved require certain types of information related to the health and safety, for example. So in other words, to solve the problems posed in the game, participants must learn about the safety topics. And in this case, so the case that we're going to be talking about today in the episode, the fictitious problem was all based around an injured employee, a hypothetical or an imaginary injured employee at Merck who was found unconscious at the bottom of a chemical reactor. And all in all, the task time limit was 60 minutes. And we were lucky enough to talk to some other participants on the project who also experienced the game.
Okay, let's go and hear your interview with Michael and Sophia and see what they think about the experience, what were the challenges, etc.
Yeah, fantastic. Let's go to that right now.
Hello, everybody. I'm here with two colleagues who are working as PhDs on the Charming project. Maybe you can introduce yourselves. Michael, do you want to go first? Maybe tell us what your institution is and a little bit about your research area.
Yeah, sure. We can do that. So my name is Michael. I'm working at KU Leuven. And my project is about chemical interest development and chemical concepts for kids. I started last year in February. My promoter is Ulf Smits. And yeah, we are here now at the third network-wide event of Charming, which is quite exciting, don't you think?
Very much so. It's very nice to be in Darmstadt, and we're being hosted by Merck. And with us also is Sophia. Sophia, why don't you tell us what you're up to?
So I'm basically the host as a partner organization here at Merck. We are basically in a hotel because we couldn't access the installations, but...
why couldn't we access the installations?
Yeah, because it's 5th of March, so it has been several cases of coronavirus around the area of Frankfurt. So as a precaution, the company decided that we shouldn't access and be in interaction with many people, mostly because we are coming from several parts of Europe. So just as a precaution.
Yeah, and it's still fantastic though, because a lot of the people who were going to talk to us on site has come out to where we're having the conference, and we've got some conference rooms. And just then we finished a serious game, or it was an escape room actually.
Mm-hmm.
So Sophia, what exactly, maybe you could explain what we were just learning through this immersive experience as an escape room.
Yeah. So first, for those who don't know, what is escape room? Basically, you are in a room which may or might not be locked for real, but you're in a room with a team, and you have to solve different questions and different puzzles to find the next one and to find answers to basically find the key to exit the room. So in this particular case, it was an escape room developed by Merck about safety and safety training and risk assessment for the employees of Merck. So the developers came all the way here, and in a conference room, they created a situation where we were locked and have to find the answer of what had happened to the operator that had the problem.
Yeah, it wasn't an operator. It was somebody who was painting a reactor or something.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I guess the learning objectives were to learn about the occupational health and safety process and protocol from a perspective of
precautions.
And the precautions. So, Michael, do you think it actually, how do you think about it as a learning experience, as reaching the goals of that?
Well, you could get a little bit confused with all the assignments of letters and numbers, and forget about the actual background of it. Because technically you can also have like a little bit of trial and error, but you can always have that. So in the end, you only open blocks with numbers, and then you get out of the escape room. But I like the backgrounds. And for people who do not have a chemical background, I think it's very interesting, especially because we are actually, there was a real life example. So the compound, which was the problem in the incident, actually has the same like hazardous risks for your health.
So what what was it then? What was the compound? I kind of missed a lot of it because I don't have a background in this. But for those people who do have a background in chemical engineering or chemistry, can you maybe elaborate a little bit about maybe what was involved and what safety aspects were involved in it?
So the compound which was involved there was diethyl ether, and that the gases stays above some liquid of diethyl ether can make you unconscious if you're like having too much of it. Yeah, that's basically it. So it's easily flammable, can make you unconscious, and it can like it can be a little bit aggressive like to your eyes, and you don't want to.
So it's a dangerous substance.
Yeah, exactly.
Sophia, how did you experience it all? What did you think?
So I think it was really interesting to try to solve some of the clues, because even with a chemical engineering background, some of them were like forgotten for me, or not so used to read this type of documents all the time. And also it was interesting to see how some of the team members that were not chemical engineers think about the clues, and because in the situation we were actually an incident investigation team, which in real life will know all the papers that we were reading. So I'm curious about if an actual incident investigation team will do it much faster than we did it, and if it Yeah. And if you all knew in advance how to read these documents, it will be easier. But it still was really interesting to experience and to remember all those things and to have a little bit of imagination on some aspects.
I know another thing that was part of the escape room was actually this idea of trying to solve a problem together. And this, even if we forget about the context of the health and safety environment training and this accident that happened, do you also see value in this as maybe a team building skill where you can actually build a little bit more rapport maybe with new team members? Or
yeah definitely, it's a team event and it's nice that you like you have a certain question and you basically brainstorm over it, and some people just make the organizational part and write down the letters and numbers you have so far, and others overtake the thinking, and that, write this, write that, and that makes it like you separate your work. That's pretty nice.
Sophia?
Yeah, I think like it actually shows a lot of how we are in what is our role in teams when we work in different type of teams. There's always someone that wants to search for the clues and keep on own set of ideas and follow the line of thoughts, and other people that like to work as a team and bring all the connections, like come look at this clue at the moment and help me solve this. So I think this is a really real thing. Like when you work in a team, there's always different type of team members. So it's good to experience how to actually handle working in a team.
Yeah.
So Tim, we have a chemical and chemical engineering background. How was the experience for you? Could you take something with you?
I definitely think it was valuable as a learning experience. I have more of an appreciation for safety procedures in a chemical plant now than I did before I went through the experience.
Yeah, because you're also kind of forced to engage with it now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Looking, well, one of the tasks was actually to look closely at the hazard matrix. Okay, so I'm thinking back now, I can quite clearly picture what the hazard matrix looks like. I don't exactly know all the details of it. I'm thinking also about the work permit. I've looked now at a work permit and I know the things that are within the work permit, which beforehand I wouldn't have done. And I think because I looked at it with some type of, there was a real reason and with intention for me to look at it, I have a feeling that I'll probably retain that information a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to if it was just presented to me in some binder with 40 other A4 pages of information. I think one more question for both of you. Do you see something like this being an important part that companies should start to involve in? Doesn't have to be health and safety training, but maybe in just training in general, something like an escape room. Should companies look at escape rooms as being valuable?
So actually, that's one of my technologies, if you want to say it, or new immersive ways of training that I want to explore in my research. So maybe I can even use this experience at Merck with different groups and have the same type of training in PowerPoint and have the both groups compare and see which one learn more at the end. And maybe I have to look more into deep if it's actually the process of playing the game, actually you learn the exact content of it, or maybe we can develop our own as a charming team with the different work packages to develop an escape room and actually test it, because we definitely show more engagement than listening for a 1 hour PowerPoint presentation, and the time went really fast. But did we actually learn more or more efficient? That's not the answer that we need to answer. And for that, we do need to test it and do the statistical analysis and actually have an evaluation. So maybe if you ask me this question in 2 years, so I can give you a certain response.
A more certain response.
A more certain response, yeah.
Okay, so you can expect that then. Michael, what do you think?
Yeah, so from the point of view of a company, I would say you have to have really the Minecraft devoted to do that, because also from an own experience, making up these riddles is very, very time consuming. You can spend a lot of effort for that, because in my work group in Creative Living, we had a team building event, and some people also did a self-made escape room, and I was part of it with a chemical room. And really, I was surprised. I was so surprised how much work it is. So I would say you really have to have a team from whatever HR to be devoted to make that. Because that escape room was also very elaborate. Mm. So yeah, you had a team behind that. But if you have that, so the Minecraft, the capacities for that, yeah, I would definitely recommend it. It can be a fun experience for your employees.
Well, there you go. Merck, well done. Maybe you need to create some more escape rooms, because there's two young researchers here who would be interested in that, if there's the capacity, but still questions around the efficacy and the impact it can actually have on learning. Thank you very much, Michael and Sophia.
You're welcome.
And I think we will hear back from you before the end of the project.
Yeah.
Any final words?
A really warm thank you to all the Merck employees that came all the way to the hotel, to the Darmstadt Center. I brought all the elements, because the escape room included a safe, a safe...
like a fireproof safe, quite heavy, probably weighed about
heavy,
15 kilos.
Yeah, so it included a lot of transportation. And also in the morning, we have... a really experiential learning about explosions, where many different things were brought back to the hotel, so all the ESRs can experience this, and to all the speakers that also came to have these talks with us, thank you.
Yeah.
I can only also say thank you. The event was very well organized. It was warm welcome from the hotel and from work side. It was good.
Yeah. Okay. So. I think we'll also be able to have a chat to Jessie, because she's actually currently in the escape room.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see what her response is.
Yeah, so now we just need to wait, because we divided in two teams. So we took 50 minutes and 30 seconds to get out of the escape room, and now the second team is in. So it's not an official competition, but we definitely want to win. So
<That's> we'll <right. laughs> see. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so that was a very interesting discussion with Michael and Sophia. And now we're going to talk with Jessie, who was actually on the other team. And I might add, Jessie's team took a little bit longer than the team that Sophia, myself, and Michael were on. So sorry about that, Jessie. But what do you sort of have to say about the experience?
Yeah, well, actually, I have fun. Yeah, so I have a lot of fun. It was not very common for me, because I have never experienced before one of these escape rooms, but it was very fun. You know, solving the puzzles and getting all the clues, it was very engaging for me. Actually, in my group, we have like an advantage, because we have Nina, who is an actual escape room creator. So she kind of guide us and help us to think how to solve the puzzles and where to look and what not to look at. So that was kind of nice. But also the ones that we were not experienced, we found sneaky ways and we didn't, you know, actually fulfill the aim of the game, which was actually learning from what we have to solve. But it was very exciting. We have a lot of fun. And since we saw this sneaky ways to get out from the room, I think that's something actually we have to consider if we want to use these things for learning, because you know the intention was broken there. We had fun, of course, but you know we didn't actually learn from the metrics that we were using in that case.
Maybe I can sort of jump in here and explain to our listeners what exactly you mean by sneaky ways, because I was actually, one of the things about the escape room is that there is a video feed and audio feed from the controllers of the game looking over the room, and it's their job to basically give hints where necessary. So there was this live video feed, and my team was able to monitor your team and the different things that you were doing. And I guess when you refer to the sneaky ways, you're actually talking about there were two envelopes that were able to be opened.
Yes, exactly.
And very clearly written on the envelope, it said, only open one of these two envelopes. I think it said something like that. And your sneaky way, as you so eloquently put it, was for your team to open both envelopes. Is
yeah,
that
exactly. And also, you know, we have to solve this puzzle where we have some hints about capitals, and we were just trying everything. We didn't actually solve the puzzle itself. We were just trying everything. So that was kind of, a sneaky way to do it as well. But in the end, we have fun. We didn't learn that much, to be honest, because in the end, we were all confused about what steps we already fulfill. And maybe that was one of the reasons we spent more time on the game. But in the end, we made it and we get we have a lot of fun.
We escaped.
Exactly.
I think this brings up an interesting point, and it was something that I discussed with Sophia and Michael, and it was about whether or not the learning outcomes or the learning goals are achieved by this. And to me, it shows that different people sort of learn in different ways, and maybe like just having fun probably isn't enough for this escape room to be a resounding success, let's say. However, I think the value is in there where you were able to actually work as a team and maybe develop certain rapport that wasn't there previously by collaborating on solving problems. So I'm not sure if you feel that after working with the people in your team, did you learn something, maybe not specifically about health and safety environment or occupational safety, but about the people you were working with?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that for team building, it's fantastic. As Sophia mentioned in the interview, you can really see the different team member approaches, and of course you can train the knowledge as an added value, but itself, for us, it was not the main outcome, but more we learn about how the other people were solving the puzzle, learned how they search for the clues, etc. So this was more the learning outcome, I would say, about other people and how they approach the problems, the different things that we have to solve.
Interesting. I would also mention that at the end of the task, actually, both teams, we returned to the conference room, and there was a debriefing session run by the creators of the game. And that was really, I think, in some sense, just as important as a teaching moment as the game itself. I know in simulation-based training, it's called debriefing, which is the moment where the trainer reflects upon the learner's performance in the training scenario. And that's a very good time for improvements that could be made to be pointed out to the learner. And I felt like that was actually a very good instructional design decision from the designer's perspective, because this is a moment where you're in a room and you're really trying to solidify the understanding of the things and the knowledge specifically that was attempted to be taught in the experience. Do you think that even though you didn't learn much in the game itself, you were able to grasp some of the concepts that were targeted in that sort of debrief session?
Definitely, I totally agree. So when they give us, you know, exactly what the aim was and all the topics was kind of organized, for me it was very clear. And then the things that I saw inside the escape room that I didn't understand in the debrief room became clear, and I kind of understand why these things were there, etc., etc. So I definitely think that might be this part of the experience which kind of make, so as you mentioned, solidify the learning experience. So I really like it, actually, that part. And also can kind of tell you how you did it in the experience and what was good and what was not good. And also you learn more about also the performing of your team, which was also nice.
Yeah. So I think all in all, I'll give you some sort of final thoughts from my perspective. I feel all in all, escape rooms can be very valuable learning experiences for employees, and it really depends on, like all types of learning environments, the design and the intention that is built into the learning environment itself. So escape rooms are very engaging. They're very good for developing sort of teamwork behaviors and potentially developing rapport among new colleagues. However, it can be challenging maybe to actually make sure that the knowledge or skills that you really want to teach are covered by all people in the escape room. I'm not sure if you have any final thoughts, Jesse, if you agree or disagree with that.
Yeah, I also agree. So it's a great experience, very engaging. And for me, it was very clear that it can be used as an added value to learn something. So I think that we should keep looking at the other immersive tools and see how we can improve.
Fantastic. Okay, thank you very much for joining us today on the third episode of the Immersive Chemistry Podcast. And be sure to tune in next time. We hope you all enjoyed it. And until next time, take care. Jesse, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, just keep tuned to see what we bring the next episode. Thank you.
Just before we finish up, I'd like to remind our listeners this project and this podcast has received funding from the European Union's EU Framework Programme for Research and Innovation through the Horizon 2020 Grant Agreement. Thank you for listening.